You're listening to Streaming Justice, live on Youth Express. Music and conversation about civil rights, past, present, and future, in honor of Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
I'm Zora. I'm 15 years old, and I'm in 10th grade at Pittsburgh Kappa.
This is Karis. I'm 14 years old, and I'm in 8th grade at Kennemack.
Hi, I'm Afton. I'm 14 years old, and I'm also in 8th grade at Kennemack.
Hi, my name is Waylon. I'm 13 years old, and I go to Inglemont Middle School at North Allegheny.
I'm Jude. I am in 11th grade at Lincoln Performing Arts Charter School.
Today we will be talking about MLK and his impact for our first segment.
So Martin Luther King was born on January 15th, 1929, the son of Martin Luther King Jr. and Albano Williams King. He was born in Atlanta, Georgia. His father was a Baptist minister. He got married to Coretta Scott. He entered Morehouse College at 15 because he was gifted and he skipped a couple of grades, and he got a PhD in theology.
He drew his inspiration from Gandhi to lead the nonviolent movement in the 1950s and 60s in order for African Americans to achieve legal equality. He won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1964 at age 35. His I Have a Dream speech was given on August 28, 1963, with over 250,000 people showing up in Washington, D.C.
He was responsible for the Civil Rights Act of 1964, Voting Rights Act of 1965, and the Housing Act of 1968.
Yeah, and despite his short-lived life, he did a lot for the civil rights movement in the 1960s, and his legacy continues on today, so that's why we are celebrating and having this conversation about him. Would anyone like to point out some of his values and kind of what he stood for?
Yeah, he stood for nonviolent protests, so justice in a form where it's civil, so nonviolent
equality.
Peaceful protests to voice out his opinions on equality. He didn't care what other people thought, and he just spoke out what he believed, and it made a big impact.
Yeah, and like even if you think about how unlawful that was, it, you know, took a lot of courage and bravery to speak out, and you know, everyone who was harmed in the whole situation, it's just crazy when you think about that scale of how illegal, yet how everyone was so willing to fight on this, you know, century old struggle. So it just, you know, goes to show how incredible these people were to do this for America. Mm-hmm. It's just insane.
Even though he was met with violence, he never reciprocated it. He stood for love, equality. Like you said, he had immense courage, and that's a part of his legacy today. And it inspires a lot of people, like in our generation, that even though we may be met with violence and we may be met with negativity, we don't need to respond with it. We can protest and we can stand for what we believe in without causing harm to others.
Yeah.
Yeah, something really interesting is that he encouraged nonviolent protests, but he was met with like so much violence from people who were against him. That, like, you know, later ended his life, and yeah.
And he drew a lot from his Christian faith growing up in the church. That's where a lot of his values came from as well, with theology being something that he studied. That was something he held close to his heart and led him through the movement, empowering him and his beliefs.
Yeah, and Zora, like you said, 250,000 people at the Washington Monument that day for the famous I Have a Dream speech. Just to think that so many people were affected by that and so many people continue to be affected by his words and his legacy, it's such a great thing to think about that, you know, met with violence and met with unsupporters.
Yeah, there are two sides. I mean, his words affected people then and his words are still affecting people now. We're still talking about him. His practices are something that teaches us how to get our words across in an effective manner. Not only his I Have a Dream speech, but also his other writing letter from Birmingham jail. His words are incredibly powerful because they've lasted over so many generations.
Yeah, and really his amazing how most of that stuff is still relevant in today and in modern society, especially these things about people being judged on the content of their character. And I find that fascinating.
I think my favorite part about him was how he didn't care what other people thought. All he cared about was protesting and putting out what he believed. And that obviously ended in his life because he had haters, costed him his life. But he, even with those death threats, and he still continued to protest and stand up against. And I think that's my favorite thing about him.
Yeah.
Immense perseverance. Even before that, with his violent encounters before, that didn't stop him. That shows us today that we shouldn't stop going because we're met with a setback. He never stopped. We just have to persevere in order to make change. Maybe one step back, but you're going five steps forward.
Yeah. So. And the inspiration, too. It's wild. His children, you know, it would hold a big part of his legacy, even today. You know, we see the work of Beatrice King, who is very prevalent today in the work of activism and spreading his message. So it's just, and so many others, it's just so, like Jude said, such a relevant topic today.
Especially because some of the things that we've seen in the past are starting to come back up in the present day as well, as we see repeating patterns. The same things that we've dealt with for years are still happening today. But with leaders like Martin Luther King, who were able to make change back then, we can make change now.
Yes. He inspired, he paved the way for, a lot of modern-day movements. And it's very important that he's remembered because, like you said, Zora, a lot of, stuff is repeating. So it's very important that, yes, that we remember what he did and his courage, and we have courage today.
Tragically, he was assassinated on April 4th, 1968 by James Earl Ray, but most of that stuff still lives on.
That didn't stop his message, though.
Yes.
Even though he may have been sadly assassinated, we still are talking about him today, and he inspires so many.
Yes.
We will see you after the song plays.
Welcome back. The song you just heard was Jettin' by Diggable Planets. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Streaming Justice, music and conversation about civil rights, past, present, and future, in honor of Martin Luther King Jr. Day, with Zora,
Karis,
Afton,
and Waylon.
Now we're going to get into the civil rights movement that happened in the 50s and 60s.
So the civil rights movement started in 1955 when Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat for a white person, and that led to the Montgomery bus boycott and eventually the desegregation of buses.
Yes, the movement focused on achieving equal rights for Black Americans in the 50s and 60s. Even though Rosa Parks kicked off the civil rights movement that we know today, Black Americans have been fighting for civil rights much longer before that as well. After the Civil War, during the Reconstruction era, a lot of Black Americans actually held a lot of political offices, which upset a lot of white Americans, especially in the South, leading to Jim Crow laws being established, which is what activists in the 50s and 60s wanted to be abolished.
I just have a quick question for everyone. How do you feel like the civil rights movement is being embodied in schools? Do you feel we are doing a good job of educating children about this ongoing struggle? And what are some things you would like to know more about?
That's a great question. I think I personally have learned a lot about the civil rights movement in school, but I've also learned a lot at home. So I always think that there can be more, especially with people like Claudette Colvin, who I didn't learn a lot about in school. And she actually gave up a seat on the bus. I mean, she didn't give up her seat on a bus like Rosa Parks, but we don't really hear a lot about her. We hear a lot about Rosa Parks, and that in turn was because of how young she was. She was 15 years old. But of course, I wish I learned more about her in school, because I think that it's important for everyone to know that you can make change even when you're really young.
Yes, I think schools also could do a much better job of educating their students about the civil rights movement and like prominent figures. In my school, at least, we kind of just learn about MLK and the civil rights movement around that time. And a lot of times, like, history classes, like, kind of skip over it or, like, skim over a lot of very important things that, like, still affect us today. So, yeah, I feel like there a lot more could be done to educate about it.
Yeah, I think a little bit on both. I think schools, and they do education on it, like the few days before, a few days after the federal holiday of Martin Luther King Jr., when school's not in on that day, we learned about Martin Luther King, more about him, his legacy, where he was born and stuff. But I also think that, going on with what Zora and Afton said, I think we can also learn more about Martin Luther King and more about civil rights movement, not just like during that specific time period, because African Americans were already fighting for justice long times before that. So I think schools could also do a better job doing that.
Yeah, I think that it could do a bit of a better job making it more engaging to learn about, but that might vary from like school to school and things like that. Either way.
I was also just going to add on to that. We know that in schools, this federal holiday, we often talk about Martin Luther King Jr., Rosa Parks, and Ruby Bridges. I think those are three very prominent figures and should be, continue to be talked about for their legacies that continue to live on. I just wanted to hear all your point of views on how we should be implicating those figures, but also introducing new ones as we go on.
I think that's a great question. For example, there is an activist, Bayard Rustin, who's very prominent during the civil rights movement. He also fought for LGBTQ rights during that time, but we don't hear a lot about him, or that may vary from household to household. I think that maybe more like individualized studies in school, with teachers saying, hey, I want you to find someone who you don't know about or haven't heard about. Because a lot of the times the reason why it's these same people is because people don't want to veer off, maybe. They just want to stick to what they know. But if more people thought, hey, I'm going to learn something that I haven't heard about, or I don't know, or I haven't heard on, like, TV, they would learn much more.
Another interesting thing is with the civil rights movement is that when schools talk about it, they leave out parts like fighting for, like, LGBTQ plus rights. And, you know, schools talk about, like, women's suffrage and, you know, MLK. But one of the reasons why is because LGBTQ plus people are not accepted by a lot of people in modern day society. So it's interesting, like you mentioned, that like people who fought for both African American rights and LGBTQ rights are not mentioned. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree, Zora and Afton. I think that schools, you know, from what we are learning, should definitely press on some more modern figures and ones who are often left out who, you know, had very great impacts, like these prominent figures we learn about in school. I think that would be opening students' span and scope of our history, not just American history, but others in the world. And I think it would be great for, you know, myself and other students included, younger, older, to learn about those who came before and continue to work today. So I think that'll be an interesting take.
And I guess speaking of schools, I want to bring up one of the key moments in the civil rights movements was the Little Rock Nine. After the United States Supreme Court made segregation illegal in public schools after Brown versus the Board of Education. The Little Rock Nine students went into school and they were met with a lot of hate and not so nice things, but they persevered and they kept going, and they can show that, you know, you may be met with a lot of not so nice things, like we said earlier, violence, but you don't put harm on those other people. Keep going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting take. You know, and everyone who's so young, like, I keep on going back to those students as well as, you know, Ruby Bridges. It's so interesting how much fight and will, despite everything put against. And I think that's such a inspirational thing that we should take with us mm-hmm. in this century and those to come.
Yeah, I think another big thing is that, sure, there's like Martin Luther King, who was a big impact, but I think there were a lot of other people who impacted the civil rights movement, like Ruby Bridges and Rosa Parks, that I think schools need to teach more, and I think people should learn more about, because it was not just Martin Luther King. There was a lot of other activists and other people who helped bring out the civil rights movement. Yeah, and we will catch you guys after the song.
There's too many of you crying.
Welcome back, everyone. The song you just heard was What's Going On by Alison Brown. Such an insightful piece. Great, very powerful. If you're just joining us, you're listening to The Streaming Justice, music and conversation about civil rights, past, present, and future, in honor of Martin Luther King Jr. Day, with
Zora,
Karis,
Afton,
and Waylon.
Our next segment will be about the present fight for civil rights. And we actually have a question. Ashley McDonald wants to know, why is it important for us to keep learning about Dr. King and his fight for justice, even if it can be difficult to talk about or learn about? Okay, so would you like to start?
Yeah. So Martin Luther King Jr. had an immense impact in civil rights, whether that be in legislation or just the impact he had on people's lives personally. Today, we're still fighting for civil rights, with people fighting either for criminal reformation, reproductive rights, and other civil rights. We have to learn how to make change without necessarily inciting more negative energy or harm towards anyone. We want to fight for what's right, but still keep our values. Martin Luther King got inspiration from Gandhi in leading his nonviolent movement, and I think it's important that we keep that mentality, as even if we're met with violence in current protests or in media, if we've seen today that people are still going without reciprocating that energy towards the people who are doing it to them. That's my take, and it may be hard to talk about because it's just horrible. I mean, to think about the past and kind of what's happening in the present too, it's hard to think about, especially as kids, but this is our future. And we need to know what's ahead of us and how we can make change for ourselves.
Yes, I think it's very important for young people to learn about Martin Luther King Jr. Because, like Zora said, it is a very present issue. Even if, you know, the civil rights movement happened back in the 60s, there are still people fighting for rights today.
And another take is, you know, it takes a lot of vulnerability to open up and talk about, you know, such horrible things, like Zora pointed on, in the past. But I think that sort of vulnerability is great to be open to, especially in the future when, you know, this is an ongoing fight and so many subtopics within the whole civil rights movement that we're still fighting for, including human rights, which, you know, is very prevalent today and will continue to be an ongoing topic.
And I feel that it is still important for people to learn about Dr. King and fight for justice, even if it's like difficult to do that or talk or learn about them today, because I feel like the youth needs to know, like Rosa Parks, she's only 15, that we have our impact on our own future. And this is our own future we're talking about, so we need to make an impact to make it a better place. So I think we need to learn about that so it can influence us and give us the power and motivation that we need to shape our future, because at the end of the day, it's our future that we're talking about.
Yeah, and I think just adding on to what Waylon said, that people need to be seen, like the youth that are learning about this, like need to know that it can happen, and rather than and just ignoring it, acknowledging at least that it happens is the very least we could do as a society.
Mm-hmm. And thinking about it too, this wasn't so long ago. Claudette Colvin, who refused to give up her seat at age 15, just died a couple days ago, and she was 86 years old. So these people are still living who went through that movement. Ruby Bridges has social media accounts. I feel like as kids, it can feel like it was a very long time ago when we're being taught this in our classes, but it's not. For some of us, it's our grandparents or maybe great-grandparents' generation, and this was a part of their lives as children, watching the civil rights movement happen as they were growing up. So I think it's important to think about that in that context, that for like the kids going through that at that age, you know, we still have to fight throughout our lives, and our future may be uncertain, but it was uncertain for people back then too, but they kept going and persevering.
I'm gonna ask another question here. So just about the Sora touched on the uncertainty and how these rights were not guaranteed and continue to not be guaranteed. How do you guys think that shapes the way we have appreciation for that today and how this ongoing struggle can be shown in a light of we have to keep going?
Speaking from like personal experience, being a member of the LGBTQ community, I've experienced some bullying and discrimination. And I think, you know, it's still very important that we, you know, fight, because it is not certain, like, what the future holds for, like, members of, like, suppressed people and minorities.
And agreeing with that as well, I think as we watch the news, as we watch media, it can feel very scary, but it's important to lean on the people close to you and find comfort. Like, thank you for sharing your experience, sharing with each other of how we can eventually change and move on. We need to connect with one another. I think sometimes, especially today, it can feel isolating and hard just growing up as kids and teenagers nowadays. But knowing that we can all stand together and continue our fight, that life will go on no matter what happens. We can still fight for change, can find light in that, even though there seems to be so much negative energy. Connecting and being with each other is the way that we can still be positive.
Yes.
And as well as we think about our current civil rights movements, how a lot of them are with criminal reformation. It even goes back to the past where protesters were experiencing the same things that protesters were today, with maybe forms of law enforcement being violent towards them. That can show us how, even though it may seem like history is repeating, we should continue to not meet them with that same energy. It can feel really scary, but I remember when I was about 10 years old and there was a Black Lives Matter protest, it was really inspiring to see a lot of people standing together and continuing to fight in our hometown in Pittsburgh. And they're still protesting. I see protests all the time. And I see my friends joining in them. And it's really inspiring to see people my age fight for change as well.
Yeah, getting involved, especially kids and teens, getting involved is just so great because we are the future generation. And it's great to feel like you have a voice and to shed light on that. So it's great.
Adding on to what Zora said, I think that's great because protests and everything is very influential, as she said. And I feel like that just shows as like proof that we cannot stop fighting for it. Although it has gotten a lot better, it is still there. And we need to take it in our own hands to make our generation have a brighter and better future for all of us.
We will see you after our music break.
Welcome back, everybody. The song you just heard was Doo-Wop by Unwrap. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Streaming Justice, music and conversation about civil rights past, present, and future in honor of Martin Luther King Jr. Day with Afton,
Zora,
Jude,
Karis,
and Waylon.
In this segment, we will be talking about civil rights future and what we hope will change in the future.
Great. So I have a question to get us started off on this segment. With the amount of growing resources available from, you know, since the 1960s, since the past, yeah. What are some ways we can implicate those to further better, you know, the incoming generation? And
yeah, that's a great question. Obviously, back then, they had to use word of mouth. I mean, it seems like it was harder to maybe spread the message than it is now, because now we have social media where it is easier for your voice to be heard to a mass amount of people at one time. You can spread your beliefs, your opinions, what you believe should change. And I think social media has been great in that way. There's a lot of things that I personally wouldn't know weren't happening if it weren't for social media and seeing videos, especially with things like the Black Lives Matter movement. I think social media was able to help it spread across. I saw a lot of videos that, I don't know, sparked me into wanting to be a part of that change as well, and other movements as well. But I think that's one of the resources that we have now that they didn't have, that allows, I think, younger generations to get more involved with it as well, because a lot of young people use social media. So when they go on and they see the different movements happening right now, it makes them want to get engaged.
Yes, I think social media has had a big positive impact on how, you know, civil rights and rights are fought for today. But another thing, like, social media has also had a little bit of a negative impact, with like it making it easier for people to be bullied and discriminated against online, with like cyberbullying, because people can hide behind a screen and there's really, like, you know, sometimes it's anonymous. So yeah,
I think that take is also valid, as social media can have its positives and its negatives.
Yeah, I think that's also pretty cool, because social media has a great deal of an impact, and people our age with like millions of like followers and people who stay tuned, they could say something or post like one video or something. It can get their voice across to thousands, maybe even millions of people their age and beyond their age. And I think that's really empowering. I think we should take advantage of that for our future.
And I also think one thing I've seen with maybe celebrities having large platforms is, especially with voting, getting people to vote is a really big thing right now. And a lot of people will tweet, go to the polls, or share on social media. That's one of the bigger things I've seen. And that also kind of connects to what I hope changes in the future, because I think voting accessibility is one issue that I am passionate about. I think everyone should think their voice is heard, and I think everyone should feel like they can have an impact and change as well.
I think voting is extremely important, except especially with ongoing issues that, you know, learning that every single vote matters is really important, and empowering that you are able to be a part of something larger. And yeah, just, you know, keeping that message instilled upon generations of voters.
It is amazing how social media can help people, youth or older, empower each other, especially if they are part of minorities or protests such as BLM, LGBTQ, who really anything that needs support, where people can empower each other. And that makes me very hopeful for the future.
Yes, I think social media gives so much hope for the future, because like young people can feel inspired if they see, you know, someone fighting for what they believe in on social media. you know, they can feel like, well, I can do this too, maybe. Like, I can join and fight for what I believe in and what's right.
I totally agree with that, too. I think it does give us a lot of hope for the future. I think, as I mentioned before, right now it can seem a little dark or bleak at some moments, but seeing other people continue to fight and persevere, just like advocates like Martin Luther King did, makes us want to keep going, too. And it's important that, you know, even if we don't see someone else joining in, that you can fight for what you believe in, too. You can be the first one. You know what I mean? You don't have to always wait for somebody to think the same way you do. But if you believe something is right, you can go for it.
I also want to ask everybody what they feel, you know, just some more future impacts that this movement and others happening present day, how you feel those will affect in the near future and how we can, you know, continue that drive and that motivation on people to do good.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, like, what we were talking about, you know, our criminal justice system and reform in the near future, if we can get law enforcement, sometimes I think, to be less nonviolent or to be aware of people with, I don't know, people of different backgrounds. I think sometimes being aggressive can be shown as fear. A lot of communities right now don't have the best relationship with law enforcement because of things that have happened in the past. But in my near future, I feel that if we can make better connections, then hopefully that relationship can be healed over time or reform. I think that's one of the most important issues right now because it affects our neighborhoods, our communities, places where we live. Like, that's something you think about your safety all the time. And it can feel unnerving to not trust the people that you're supposed to call for help. So,
yes, I also think in the future, the education system should do better to educate people on what is currently going on with the world, and like news outlets can do a better job of seeing the big picture and like giving unbiased information just so, yeah, everybody can know what exactly is going on.
Does anyone else have anything to add on to future implications?
I hope to see a future where, like, people can stop seeing police as a threat, as unfortunately that can happen sometimes, and more of just fellow citizens that are there to help if needed.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jude. I think that law enforcement should be something that, you know, an organization that we can trust and we're able to come to. That was really great insight.
Yeah, and also I think trust right now is something that may be hard for our generation to have for the future, but just knowing that we can invoke change so that we can eventually have that trust in not just our local governments and law enforcement, but nationally, and trust in each other to build a better nation that we see for ourselves.
Yes.
Well, that's all the time we have for now. Thanks for listening to our segment of Streaming Justice. Up next is more music and conversation with Lily, Tasm, Cronus, DJ Safina.